Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us today. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, if you want to jot the phone number down to call, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question directly to our guest today from the city staff, City of Grants Pass, headed by Aaron Kubik. Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Do you want to set the scene today, or should I go ahead?
Well, good morning.
Yeah.
This is just a beautiful day.
Yeah, absolutely is. It's the climate.
It is. It is actually really nice out there.
Yeah, well, certainly.
Do we want to set the stage? I don't know. You could set the stage. I don't know.
Let's try
to figure out what we should be doing.
Well, let's see. During the last Wednesday night, during the city council meeting, the council sent to city staff the objective of preparing ordinances to institute a food and beverage tax along with the utility fee to fund public safety.
Oh, that. I might have recalled something. That sounds familiar.
5-3 vote, as I recall, so it wasn't unanimous. But at the same time, that's been dumped right back into your lap to be reconsidered at the next meeting. I want to say that's on the 21st, but that's pretty close.
Yeah.
So all that being considered, anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, well, we do have a lot going on. That is definitely one of the highlights right now. Staff is doing a good job of trying to get something prepared for council's next meeting, council meeting on that, so they can consider a ordinance that would adopt a utility fee at $9 a month and a food and beverage sales tax at
three percent. I was three. Yeah. Okay, 3%.
So there's some heavy lifting that needs to happen there in order to get that prepared, but we are trying to make that happen, and it will be on the agenda for the upcoming council meeting.
Okay, you brought a heavy lifter with you, didn't you?
We did. both JC and Augustus, our city attorney, are definitely spending some time right now getting all that prepared.
Oh, okay. The goal, of course, is to fund city law enforcement or city public safety. Not only at the level that we're on, but at an increased level, adding 8 full-time employees. I think that's 3 policemen, a couple of firemen, a police analyst.
Yes.
And an administrator, I believe, something like that.
Yes.
So that's the goal right now. In order to achieve that goal, how much money do we need to receive, JC? What's the bottom line there? How much money do we need to raise in order to accomplish those goals that have been set out by the council?
Yeah, so as of right now, we're projecting those added FTE are about $1.5 million. So the potential gap that we're looking at for the general fund is around $4.8 million is our early projections, though we are still going through the budget process right now. And as we go through that process, we comb through some of the details and we try and be good stewards of the funds that we do have. And so that number may shift or move slightly.
Okay. All that being considered, I know you've done a lot of work because I've got, I think, a lot of copies of it here that are lots and lots of numbers here.
A lot of numbers.
That just make my eyes cross, as a matter of fact. So how do you go about attacking this, first of all, with the food and beverage tax? Let's deal with that first, because the council seemed to want to stay away from the phrase sales tax, and this seemed to be a way to get away from that, because the city, quite frankly, seems to be opposed to that almost statewide, unanimously, for whatever reasons. But that's another story. So let's talk about, first of all, the food and beverage tax. What kind of money is it going to raise? Do we have any idea yet what it's going to entail?
Yeah, just generically, just to kind of get it out there, it is food and beverage tax, but I want to kind of clear up some of the other questions that are coming out about this. This is for prepared food, so more like your restaurants and or the hot meals that can come out of convenience stores. So some people have been asking me as far as voicemails and or emails to the city about this being on groceries, and it's not necessarily groceryable items. It is modeled after the city of Ashland's food and beverage tax. That seemed like the temperament for city council. So that way maybe we have some regional similarities as to where we're going with what is eligible and not eligible. And then generically speaking, at a 3%, we're looking at an estimated $2.3 million as far as the revenue source.
All right. So that won't cover the whole bill that we're looking at right now, but a little over half of it, or right at the halfway point. How did you come about that figure here? It's all estimates at this time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is all estimates. Hopefully it's some educated estimates. There's some U.S. Census Bureau data that we can pull from both the City of Ashland and the City of Grants Pass. The City of Ashland also, in their financial statements, posts how much they receive from their own food and beverage tax at their 5% rate. So proportionally, based on these sales in certain industries like restaurants and things that would have those taxable items, I can try and hopefully proportionally set up what the City of Grants Pass may look like as far as setting up a similar taxable structure.
Prior to last Wednesday's meeting, I pulled some information off of the website here, and it talks about the food and beverage tax potentials of examples of taxable and exempt goods. And one of the items says taxable, food and beverages sold by restaurants except alcohol, whole cakes, pies, and loaves of bread if purchased for consumption off premises.
Correct. And the alcohol is a deal with the OLCC. They have language in their statute that from the state that says you can't touch it.
Okay. So that's
so it's off limits, okay. Right? The other items, they're more, I think, to remove the duplicate tax. So say you were to buy it in a grocery store as your business and then potentially get taxed on it and then try and resell it. I think what it's trying to do is make sure that those items that, like a bakery, you could, in theory, be selling that to another business. So I think that's the root of the language and why it exists like that.
All right. Is that what we're going to see locally that comes out in this ordinance right now? Will we have all of these exemptions listed?
Yeah. I mean, I think the City of Ashland's had their model, I think, since 1993. So it's easy maybe for us to use them as a reference and a guide. They do have a catering exemption in there. For a maximum of $5,000, which we were looking at putting that in our own ordinance to allow for catering businesses to still operate. I'm sure just like the City of Ashland, they have some large festivals and or parties and such, that which is why that exemption was added in there. But again, there's other cities around the state. There's a couple other ones that have a slightly different tax code. But they're smaller cities on the coast, and maybe they don't necessarily fit the City of Grants Pass's economics.
All right. Have you had any specific guidelines from council yet as to what they want to see on that exempt list?
You know, I don't think we've had the very, 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 very specific. I think as a general head nod, and maybe the thumbs up count, and Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, it's more of the less, more or less of the, we would like to start with the City of Ashland's and then dig into that and maybe make minor changes as needed.
All right. How close to being complete are you? And I know you are behind the curve.
You know, and it's not necessarily me. Our city attorney did an excellent job of putting this together, I guess, Asogu. And we do have hopefully close to a finished product to bring on Wednesday. And it is a pretty good mirror as to the City of Ashland. There are some subtle nuances that we put in there to change language to fit the City of Grants Pass's municipal code.
All right. Have you personally had any backlash from the restaurants? The food and beverage industry?
I would say not directly, but I can basically maybe feel some burning eyes in the back of my head some days.
You've not been going out to eat recently, I assume.
There's been some outreach to mayor council emails. People are expressing their concerns with a food and beverage tax, and we try to address those as they come in. And if they have specific, they're just expressing a concern, then you know that's their ability to do that. But if they have some specific questions, which we are getting some, well, does this include this? Does this include this? Then we will be trying to respond to those. And it's good to hear those questions, because then we have a better idea of what's on people's minds and how and what type of information to relay out there, so we can make sure that everyone is on the same page with what this is, this food and beverage tax is, and how it will impact both the consumer and the businesses.
Are you hearing specifically from some restaurants?
We've heard from some business owners, yes, on the food and beverage sales tax.
Anything you could say on the air?
Well, just that they have some general concerns about the implementation of the food and beverage sales tax and impact to the community.
All right. Well, that's going to fall on their shoulders in terms of collection and reporting, does it not? Are they going to be reimbursed for part of that? Is that in the plan?
Yeah. Currently in our municipal code, we're planning on putting a 5% administrative recapture for the entities that are remitting the tax.
All right. Will 5% cover their expenses? I mean, I'm just asking.
I wouldn't be able to say if that would for each individual business. Most of the current point of sales, they're not necessarily organ specialized, and so they normally have a place for you to program in a sales tax. So I don't know if it's going to cause a major swing as far as expenditures go, but I'm guessing that there is going to be some administrative work to be had.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. At least this is where we're going to begin today. And as we begin, we're going to take a deep breath and be right back after this important message.
A leap year only happens once every...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. Casey Riley, the finance director of the City of Grants Pass, city manager Aaron Kubik in with us, and we're talking about the proposed food and beverage tax along with the utility fee coming up in order to fund public safety for Grants Pass. And we've been talking about the food and beverage tax, which will cover about half of the amount that we need to reach in order to fund not only our current level of service, but an additional of 8 full-time employees. So the other half going to come from that utility fee. Outline how that works, first of all, for a residence, and second of all, for commercial businesses out there.
Yeah, so as far as a residence is concerned, we're looking at a structure that is $9 a month for a single-family residential home. When you add units, there's some different charges as far as some of the properties that may have AUCs on them. For commercial, everybody starts out as an A. We're going off the transportation model. The transportation model has a trip generator index that is based on the type of business you have and the size of your business. So the larger the square footage, the more propensity for trips, and that's kind of where we got the methodology.
There's a study, an engineering study that comes out on, and they update it regularly, and it is literally inches thick. ITE manual is what it's called. And
just to give people a real idea of what you're talking about, when you say inches thick, what he is doing is holding his hand about a foot off the counter here. So it's that thick.
It
could be
thick.
10 to 12 inches thick.
Yes. And it's that big because it tries to take into consideration every type of businesses that's out there. A restaurant with a drive-thru. A restaurant with a drive-thru with this many square feet. A restaurant with two drive-thrus. An attorney firm with this amount of square feet. It's got all sorts of different. You think when you read through that, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about a business having this. And it's all based on trip generation. How many trips does that business have? How many trips to the transportation system? How does that impact the transportation system? And so that study is done, and we're utilizing that study because it is a proven methodology. It's a proven methodology that has a rationale base behind it, and it is a justified opportunity to provide that utility fee for public safety. The other thing is that there is a general nexus to the size of the business, the type of activity, the trips that are generated. There's a nexus with regards to the services of public safety that's associated with that also. Say Walmart or one of our larger convenience stores, Fred Meyer, et cetera, have a lot of trips going to them. They also do get a lot of public safety calls as compared to a single-family residential home that only has, say, 8 trips per day calculated. So there is that nexus which helps create some justification for utilizing that methodology.
Yeah, and to add on to that, the previous jail services fee about 10 years ago, that also used the same model of transportation. And when we looked at the data again as far as the calls for service between residential and commercial for police and fire, we were about a 50-50 split for the community. So when we looked at the transportation model, that's about a 60% residential, 40% commercial split. When we looked at other kinds of calculations, maybe going off your water meter size or just a per account basis, that pushed the data more into the residential, and it didn't seem to align with the calls for service.
So the criteria that you're looking at right now seems to be divided more fairly in your minds?
I mean, based on what we can see as far as the data is concerned.
Yeah, like a Walmart would take a lot more than my home.
That is correct.
Yes. So that was the idea behind it.
Yes.
And certainly that makes sense. How much money are we looking to generate from this right now?
So the utility fee at the $9 structure would be about $2.5 million.
Okay, that's the $9. How high would it go for one of the larger box stores here?
I have that here in something of my stuff.
We've got so many papers spread out here, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't necessarily have the exact $9 one on me, but I think it's around the $3,000 a month. And we don't have that many, and that's a commercial H. We don't have that many. I think we only have four accounts in the city of Grants Pass.
I was going to say three or four. Is there an average for the business out there? The big ones, the big four, would be paying $3,000 to $4,000 a month, and is there an average for the business out there?
Yeah, that's going to be your commercial A, and that's going to be closer, I believe, to – gosh, I wish I would have brought that one with me. I think that's going to be closer to it's 9 times 333.
Well, okay. While he's figuring that out, commercial A is the first tier of our commercial accounts. It's the lower price of our commercial accounts, and it also represents the largest amount of our businesses are under commercial A. So the large majority of our businesses will fall under the commercial A category, which is the lower.
Yeah, and it's about 91% of the businesses in Grants Pass are commercial A.
So that's a huge percentage.
That 91% be paying an average of
$29.97 a month.
So about $30 a month average for businesses and about $9 for each individual. And that will get us to the point where we'll, one, fund public safety at its current level and make those additions. That's the goal.
That is the goal of Council L.
All right. Now, it's not a done deal yet. Where do we stand from here? The ordinances are still being drafted. Final will be put before the council at the next meeting, and I'm going to say that's a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
A week from tomorrow night.
Yep.
And it was a 5-3 vote, and as I recall, there was lots of different ideas and promises made to their public on what they would vote for and would not. Is there a chance this could change? He said.
Well, there's always a chance that it can change, because what we received was direction from the last council meeting to have council consider these two ordinances that would provide an opportunity and a framework to have a utility fee and a food and beverage sales tax. So is there an opportunity for change? Yes, that is just the direction that we received from council. Just to walk you through the process is we will have – at the Wednesday night meeting, next Wednesday, not this Wednesday.
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. We will have a code change that will provide for a structure for the city to be able to start charging those fees. That requires two readings. So when you're looking at an ordinance like that, ordinances require two readings, which means council has to vote on it two times. And that helps from a public process to where ordinances are usually more or larger in nature of importance versus a resolution or proclamation or just a general motion. So you can pass an ordinance in one night if
it's a unanimous vote the first time.
Yes. And then the second time, it doesn't have to be unanimous to pass, but I mean, it has to be unanimous to pass, but it can move forward with, say, a 5-3 vote.
Right. So that if that 5-3 division stands, it would be voted on the first time and then delayed for another 2 weeks.
That is correct. Right. Yeah, if it's not unanimous on the first one, we will only have the first reading, and then the second reading will be at the following meeting.
I see. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, get out your calculators, feed us some ideas here, see if you can come up with a better plan. Now, we're kind of up against the wall in order to get this done, are we not? What kind of timeline are we looking at here in order to get this done by the time the fiscal year comes along? Because we're in the budget process right now, are we not? And if we don't do this, we run out of funding on the end of June.
We are under a time crunch, and it's really positive that council has provided direction for us to move forward. JC can provide you some additional timelines on what we anticipate as an implementation for the food and beverage and also the utility fee.
Yeah, so we're hoping again for some direction here next Wednesday. We are in the budget process right now. The final budget process typically happens in May, and then the council then adopts the budget in June. So really it doesn't give us a lot of time necessarily as far as preparation as all these numbers are coming together. Generically speaking, the hope would be that we may be able to get the utility fee up and running by June 1st. And then the food and beverage, depending on how long an RFP may take, we're hopefully into the fall at some point. To give us enough time to have that set up and going properly.
All right, so we're looking at getting everything done by the end of this budget process, or at least in place on the books. Because an ordinance, once it's passed, doesn't take effect for, 60 days? Is that correct?
30 days.
30 days?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are up against the clock somewhat. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any ideas, you're certainly welcome to voice them here. We're getting close to the end of this first segment of our Tuesday talk show today. So we'll remind you our phone number is 541-472-1270. And you can call that right after the news. It's coming up here in a moment or two on KAJO Radio. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call is 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, if you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your comment or question live. To our guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik, Finance Director J.C. Relly in studio with us. We've been talking about the proposed city utility fee along with the food and beverage tax that the City Council has proposed to fund public safety. If you have a question or a comment or an idea, this is the place to pass it along. Now, we were talking just before we went into the news about what it would take to really get this up to speed. The utility fee, pretty easy. Once everything passes and has all the T's crossed and the I's dotted by the City Council. So once all that's done, but putting up the food and beverage tax is not that easy. You just don't push a button and have it happen. So, JC, can you explain to what we need to do to in order to have that happen? Your first words were we need to send out an RFP, a request for proposal. What's that entail and what's it going to cost?
Yeah, currently, we have limited staffing at the City of Grants Pass in the finance area. And why the utility billing utility fee option is easier is because we already have those processes, those systems, and computer software is in place. With the food and beverage, we don't have that. We currently don't offer that or anything like that through the city. So we are potentially looking to do something similar that the City of Ashland does, where they contract out for that administration, where they help with the software, they help with the returns, they help with the collection of the tax as well. In doing that, there are some procurement rules through the state, and so it's going to take us going through an RFP process, like you said, and allow for multiple vendors to bid on the contract, because this is going to potentially be a multi-year contract if this does pass as an ordinance and we do go down the path of getting an administrator for this.
Do we have any idea the cost generally, an estimate? And is that written into to the plan moving forward?
Yeah, it's relatively minimal in the grand scheme of things. But in interviewing some vendors out there, there is definitely a swing in revenues. It can be as low as 0.5% of all revenues. It can be as high as 5%. And it's more or less what is their time and effort to administer your food and beverage or your tax in general. Because the vendors I talked to did a couple different other taxes as well. So it's how labor intensive it is for them. If we model something after like Ashland that already exists out there, the programming for the individualized software that would go into us isn't necessarily as labor intensive because someone out there potentially has those kinds of things solved. So the cheaper that we could potentially make it as far as streamlining it, that would bring that cost down. But I did hear about 5% would be maybe in the first year, because there are going to be a lot more questions. There is going to be a lot more labor intensity to working it through with individual business owners. And then over time, they will potentially readjust their rate based on what the level of customer service they're having to provide.
All right. They'll be working with city staff. Is that what I just heard?
No, actually, they will actually help work with the businesses individually. We will have to have some staff on the back end to help with as far as some of the reporting and things that we need financially to go into the city's finances. But for the most part, they will be answering the phones on our behalf.
All right. So the businesses then, do they have to add any software or computer capability?
They may have to reprogram some of their point of sale systems to take in the tax. And obviously there's going to be some nuances like we heard earlier with the potential liquor that is not eligible. So there's going to have to be a little bit of education that goes out to the typical everyday business. And depending on what kind of business you have and what you offer, what is eligible and what isn't eligible may be potentially unique as your convenience stores or the gas station stops. So they do have those little deli mart hot packaged items that are potentially taxable, but any other of the grocery types items are not.
I'm sure the large businesses and the chains all can just plug that in. However, some of the smaller businesses, some of the smaller restaurants, the independents out there might have to add some computer technology or computer capacity in order to do this. Are they subject to paying for that themselves? Is there a way to be reimbursed? Is the city responsible, or is just the business responsible?
So we are potentially writing in the code the 5% that the individual entity could potentially retain for themselves as part of the cost of doing some of this work of remitting back to the city.
So that would cover any increased computer capacity that a small business would have to institute?
That is the hope.
Okay. Well, we'll cross our fingers here. Now, it sounds fairly complicated to get this installed. How soon are we looking at revenues to come through?
A perfect world, I could see maybe it being in place as early as October 1st, and then the first tax return maybe being due on January 1st of 2025. So there is a little bit of a timing delay. We're looking at taking in returns quarterly to not make it too onerous on the business owner, but also keep cash flows up for the city and the operations that we do need the money for.
All right. Well, let me throw this back to either you or Aaron, because it's going to take that long, another 10 months, in order to get that revenue coming back through. What happens between the end of June and January 1st next year in terms of funding for public safety? Because we'll have half of it with the utility fee, but the revenues from the food and beverage tax will be delayed. How does that affect us?
Well, we have the utility fee will be in place by the time of the new fiscal year. The utility fee, with current projections as a standalone, falls a little short with regards to our potential general fund budget deficit, I believe. And so, but those numbers are still not totally firmed up, and we may be okay moving forward from that perspective. The additional FTEs that we've talked about, the hiring of those may need to be delayed until we start to receive revenues from the food and beverage tax.
All right. And even the hiring of those individuals, finding the qualified individuals, does take some time at the back end of that. So what I'm hearing is we should be pretty close to okay. Is that a fair assessment?
I think we're going to be able to yes, be able to operate. What level would that we would be adding and how soon would we be adding, I think would be under question as far as how quick we could get all of this to come together.
So we won't lose boots on the ground in the meantime.
I think that's the current sentiment that we would have with those numbers.
All right. All that being said, it sounds like a plan. What can go wrong?
Don't jinx us.
Don't jinx. Yeah. Okay. All right. Are you anticipating? Do you have a backup plan just in case, or do we need counsel to back up that to make that backup plan?
Well, we currently have a plan in place, and that's for the both of these two new funding sources to be adopted. If something changes, then that would be a discussion that would need to occur at a policy level with regards to funding sources and level of service.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, number 541-472-1270. If you have questions in the meantime, we have some answers, at least commercially, for you.
Illinois.
Welcome back, everyone. Phone number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest or an idea or two. 541-472-1270 is the number to call. Once again, our guest, J.C. Riley, the finance director for the City of Grants Pass, and city manager, Aaron Kubik. We've been talking about the proposed food and beverage tax along with the utility fee that the city council has put forward or at least dropped in the hands of staff to create the ordinances that will be voted on a week from tomorrow night at the business session. Is there an area that we should have covered and haven't covered so far here in terms of what the public really needs to know about what will be happening here because we're really reaching into their pockets again?
Well, I think that one of the keys is if they have concerns or questions, to make sure to reach out to us, reach out to Mayor Council email or reach out to myself or JC at the city. You can do that by calling us or sending us emails also. We would be more than happy to try to answer your questions that you have. And we may not have the full detail of the question because we haven't crossed that road yet, but we will do what we can to provide clarity for you.
All right. The question that I have that has been running around here from a couple of people here is, and I know there are strong feelings on the council about a small percentage sales tax generally would spread the burden out more equally throughout the populace. But I suspect that, and this is my inclination, I suspect the council is just afraid of just the verbiage of putting a sales tax in front of the people here without a vote of the people. Is that a fair assessment in
I think,
or can you even climb out on this limb with
me? I think most of it is, and my climbing out on a limb would be just based on my observations that occurred on the dais from a discussion mm-hmm. perspective. That was, I think, the first motion that came out of the meeting was to have a general sales tax. And it was for the purpose, I think, that you mentioned, that was expressed that it would be a lower percentage rate, it would provide additional potential revenue, and it would spread the cost amongst a wider group. It failed, but mm-hmm. that was a motion, and council did consider that during the meeting. Ultimately, a food and beverage sales tax was the one that was recommended.
Yeah, and I'll go out and kind of back up what he's kind of saying, too. I think part of the information that we gathered, too, is a lot of the places that had local sales taxes, they also had a state tax, too. And so the local taxes were modeled after the state tax with just an elevated rate that would stay or keep money in there locally. And so a lot of those smaller municipalities, they didn't have to recreate the wheel because their state gave them the guidelines. And so in our instance, we would really be creating a statewide kind of involvement.
Be the first in Oregon.
We'd be the first in Oregon potentially. And so there was a big uplift for us to potentially put that out there as well.
So go ahead.
Grants Pass seems to not be afraid of being the first in Oregon on a number of things.
We lead in a couple of areas,
yes,
don't we?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So at any rate, we're coming down to about our last 10 minutes now. I think we've covered this pretty thoroughly. Is there an area that we really need to tell the people about that they don't know about yet? Is there anything hidden there that would come out that would affect my purse adversely? Nothing. Okay. It's pretty straightforward right now.
It is relatively straightforward. It would be new. Say, for instance, the food and beverage would be new to Grants Pass, but it's at least not new to maybe people that enjoy our region. If they've been to Ashland and they've eaten in Ashland, it would be something very
similar.
We're not
going to be the first in the state to do that.
That's correct.
We're not reinventing the wheel
again.
That's
correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other areas that you're dealing with right now? I know the city police have had lots of pats on the back here for their efforts, even though they're a little outnumbered right now. What's going on in the parks right now? Are we experiencing the status quo? Any word out of the Supreme Court? Any one of those questions here?
So, no word yet out of the Supreme Court, but we do have the week that they will hear oral arguments for our case. And that is the week of April 22nd. That 22nd, 23rd, 24th, one of those 3 days is when it's to be scheduled. That's exciting because once they hear that, it will be, we're guessing a ruling will come probably in June.
That's a little earlier than we'd originally been expecting. Is that right?
Yeah. We're at the tail end of their session. And so the turnaround time is going to be relatively quick because they do all of their rulings at the end and they plan on closing up at the end of around June. So we're encouraged that we'll have some additional direction come the beginning of the summer.
All right. Do we have any indication, are our attorneys positive about what the outcome might be?
Well, of course, we're positive. We have a lot of what's considered amicus briefs and other support from different states throughout the nation and in support of our case. So there is a lot of backing, and it is going to be interesting to see what happens.
That being said, once the Supreme Court rules, and what I'm not sure what that ruling would be, but it would certainly lift the injunction that we're under from the Ninth Circuit Court. Where does that really doesn't leave us in a really good spot, better than we are now, but there are some rules from the state that we still have to provide some housing somewhere, somehow. Is that right? Am I correct there?
I think you're spot on. We are under an injunction that basically has identified and defined time, place, and manner regulations for resting in public spaces. We were at the tip of the spear with that. About 2 years after our case, the state of Oregon did pass for everyone to have time, place, and manner for resting in public spaces. So you may recall, your listeners may recall, a number of months ago, hearing about Medford and Ashland and Roseburg and Portland and everyone developing their own time, place, and manner regulations on when and where people can rest in public spaces. We already had ours established through the court case. So if we do win, it means that we have the opportunity now to define what our time, place, and manner regulations are so we can be in compliance with the current Oregon rules.
So we would need another village, another camping area in order to free the parks from the campers that are there now. And that has been an ongoing problem for the city council so far.
Yeah, we would have a lot of opportunities when it comes to resting in public spaces. It could look a lot different than it does today if we have the ability to manage those time and make a policy decision on those time, place, and manner regulations. No matter what happens there, there is, like you mentioned, always a need. There's some additional services that are needed for the unhoused. And this community is making strides, both from drug addiction, mental health, and housing. And we have more to do. And so the city is always trying to be an active partner with our nonprofits and other community agencies that are focused on providing those type of services to see how we can make a positive difference in providing those needed community services.
All right. We have time for probably one phone call here. Just came in. Let's say good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guests?
Yes, we do.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about the, you guys say that you're basing it off of Ashland. However, they are pulling it now. To the best of my knowledge, it hasn't worked out, and they are slowly coming into effect of pulling that. So why are you all basing it off of something that doesn't work?
JC?
Ashland's model has been in place for a number of years and has provided a revenue stream for their use, and it has been seen as a model, along with a couple of the other cities. The other two cities in the state have similar food and beverage sales taxes that seem to work and are defensible. So this is an opportunity where council has looked and seen as a funding model for our public safety and has been successful in other communities.
I think JC wants to comment. Go ahead, JC.
No, I think the city of Ashland has a sunset as 2030 as far as their current municipal code. I believe they have had talks about repealing it, but I don't think it has been successful to date.
All right. Ma'am, does that answer your question? Do you have a comment? I think she went away. All right. And we'll go away here momentarily, too. So we're down to about our last 3 minutes here. So, JC, what should people know about what's coming a week from tomorrow night to the city council meeting in terms of new ordinances?
Well, I think hopefully there's a decision. We have a couple of ordinances going to be going in front of the council, one for a public safety utility fee and another for a potential food and beverage tax that would establish those from the city of Grants Pass.
All right. Aaron, you get the last 2 minutes.
Great. Oh, love it.
You have the show.
So just want to reiterate again, if you have questions or concerns about specifically this topic that we've talked about today, please reach out to myself, JC, Mayor Council, email. That's all that information and our contact information is all available online. Or you could call us at 450-6000. We would be more than happy to try to answer and address your concerns and questions. And if it's not on the subject, just regular city services, please reach out to us. We are at our best when we hear from you and we get your feedback.
All right. Well, we want to thank you very much for your time today. City Manager Aaron Kubik and City Finance Director JC Riley here on the Tuesday Talk Show.